Just a quick word for those of you who are prepared. We will be receiving our benevolence offering, and ushers to be aware of that. At the end of the service this morning, we're going to receive that offering. So just to make you aware of that. But Nancy, thank you. Pastor Jordan, Michael, thank you. Dan, thank you. You know, we have been incredibly blessed in our church. We have our own version of the Von Trapp family, known as the LaMalee family. And I'll tell you, we have been so blessed with our musicians here. But it's what they're in Tennessee at a family gathering this weekend. I think they're going to be gone this weekend and next weekend. But it is so awesome to know that God has just blessed us with some amazing, not just musicians, but people who are, and by the way, that includes Ann and Frida and Marsha and, you know, the others as well, Tim. But God has blessed us so much with not just musicians, but people who actually lead us into worship of our God. And Pastor Jordan, thank you for leading us this morning, and Nancy. But we're going to dig into God's Word, and I'm just going to ask you to bow with me for a word of prayer before we look into what God's Word has to say to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we are here today to worship you. That is our primary reason for gathering together, a time when the family of God, the body of Christ, can come together to focus our attention fully on you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you that in this experience of worship, we receive back. What a blessing it is to know that as we're gathered here, Lord Jesus, you said you are in the midst. We know that your Holy Spirit is present here. And Father, even as we look into your word, you bring that word to life in our hearts. And we thank you so much for that. Father, today, as we look into your word, as we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit and who he is and how he wants to work in our lives, Father, I just pray that we would be open to his leading. And so, Lord, we commit this time in your word to you, and we ask that you would speak to us. Father, I pray today that you would hide this servant behind the cross of Jesus Christ so that Jesus only would be seen. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 14. And if you're using your Pew Bible, that you can find that on page 901. But John chapters 14 through 16 contain some of the most complete teaching on the Holy Spirit that you're going to find in all of Scripture. And it's not surprising that this teaching comes straight from Jesus himself, who was obviously intimately aware of just who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. Now, just let me say this. If that passage that Charlie read for us this morning sounds familiar, it's just because it was the same passage that we used 2 weeks ago when we started this series on the Holy Spirit. But this morning, I really want to focus our attention on one word in this passage. It's a word that Jesus used to describe who the Holy Spirit is, and it's found in verse 16. Now, if you're using your ESV Bible, or the Pew Bible, which is an ESV, English Standard Version, then that verse reads very simply that Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." That word helper is the word we're focusing on here. Now, a number of translations use this word, including some of the most reputable ones, the New American Standard, the ESV that we use. And just let me say this. I don't like this particular translation. I think that this is one of those times when the word that the Bible translators used just doesn't do the original text justice. Whenever I hear the word helper, I think of an assistant, right? Oh, I see you brought your little helper with you today, right? Well, when I think of the Holy Spirit, I don't think of him as my assistant. Remember, we are talking about God. We're talking about God in all of his fullness, dwelling in you, not just a part of God, not just a representative of God. We are talking about God, the Holy Spirit, a member of the Trinity, living within us. He's not my assistant. If anything, I'm his assistant. But the word that Jesus uses here is the word paraclete. And let me be clear on that. It's paraclete, not parakeet, okay? Just to make sure you get that. This is an English translation of the Greek word parakletos, okay? You and I probably don't use the word paraclete very much. It's actually a legal term. A paraclete is someone who is appointed or hired to be your legal mediator or representative. That's what a paraclete is in legal terms. It's a compound word. Paraclete is a compound word. The prefix para means next to or beside. And the root word, the Greek word kaleo, means to speak out or to call. So, literally, a paraclete is someone who is called to your side, which sounds an awful lot like a helper, doesn't it? All right, that's again the most basic translation that you can give this word. But I prefer this translation. A paraclete is someone who speaks or acts on your behalf. And that's why I like the other words that translators have used in place of this word helper. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. There are three names, three titles that are given to the Holy Spirit. And when we look at these words in the context of what Jesus is saying and what he's teaching us, it gives us a more complete picture of just who the Holy Spirit is and how he works in our lives. But before we start looking at these names for the Holy Spirit, I want you to notice another word in this verse that Jesus uses. And it's, again, a very important word here. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. All right? Very important word that we see what Jesus is saying here. Remember, this is part of the upper room discourse. Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the night, the very night that he was going to be arrested and put on trial and ultimately face the cross. So he knows what's going to be happening over the next few hours. Jesus knows what these disciples are going to be facing in the next 24 hours. And he also knows that their relationship with him is about to drastically change. You know, Jesus had just told them at the beginning of John chapter 14 that he was going away and he was going to go and prepare a place for them. He was returning to his Father in heaven. So they weren't going to be walking with him anymore, not in the way that they had done for the past 2.5 years. You know, they were used to Jesus being with them all the time. Jesus was their master. Jesus was their teacher. He was their leader. Jesus was the one who would step in for them. Every time the religious leaders started picking at little things that they did or didn't do, Jesus is the one who was there intervening on their behalf. And now they were going to have to answer for themselves. So when Jesus says to them, I will ask the Father and he will send you another paraclete, it's very obvious that Jesus is implying here that he was their very first paraclete. Jesus was the paraclete. Now this tells us a lot about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how he works in us today. The Holy Spirit works the same way primarily that Jesus did in the lives of his disciples. All right? When Jesus finished his work, when he returned to his Father in heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to take his place. And he told his disciples, he said, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. The paraclete will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now the difference is, Jesus walked with his disciples. He walked beside his disciples. And he stepped in and he intervened. He did all of these things for them. But the Holy Spirit actually takes up residence in us. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Jesus said it's actually to our advantage that the Holy Spirit comes, because he said, you will know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. So what is it that the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, does in our lives? What does he do if he's more than just our helper? Well, we're going to look at these three other names, three other ways that the word paraclete has been translated in the scriptures. And the first one is the one that's found in what I would call the original English translation, or at least the official English translation, the King James. Many of you probably have a King James Bible on your shelf, or you may even have it with you this morning. If you have your King James Bible and you open up to John chapter 14, verse 16 will say, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. The title comforter. That's the title of the Holy Spirit in the song that we just sang. And it's actually the most common translation of the word paraclete that's used in all of our English Bibles. All right? So let's go back a moment and take a look at the beginning of John chapter 14. Let's go back to verse 1. And remember, Jesus is saying goodbye here. But before he breaks the news to his disciples, listen to what he says to them. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Now, keep in mind, context of this passage, Jesus had just told his disciples that he was going to be crucified. Not only that, but he also told them that they were all going to fall away on his account. They were all going to betray him, to walk away. And he just told Peter, the leader of the group, that not only was he going to walk away, but he was going to deny him 3 times. And now he's just about to tell them, oh, by the way, I'm going to be leaving you. So what does he do? He comforts them. He comforts them. He says to them, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't worry about these things. You know, one of the things that Jesus' presence meant to his disciples was they didn't have to worry about anything. You know, Jesus had taught them to live a lifestyle of absolute dependence upon God the Father. To them, God was Jehovah Jireh. He was their provider. And Jesus showed them that they didn't have to be dependent upon earthly things at all. As a matter of fact, when he called them, he said to them, you know, you want to follow me? Well, listen to this. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Well, that didn't matter. It didn't matter to the disciples. They walked with Jesus, and the disciples, because of that, they didn't have need of anything. If they were hungry, Jesus was there, you know? Jesus could multiply bread and fish, you know? Time to pay the taxes? Jesus just told Peter, go fishing. You know, the first fish that you catch, look inside of its mouth, the money will be there. We'll pay the taxes. And what happened to the disciples when they were out on the lake and a storm blew up? Jesus was there. You know, they were petrified. They were terrified by this storm, and they go down and find Jesus below deck sleeping. And they get him up, say, Jesus, you know, take a look at what's going on around us. And Jesus rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Jesus could even calm the storm. What couldn't he do? The disciples knew they had nothing to fear. They had nothing to worry about as long as Jesus, as long as their comforter was with them. But now Jesus was leaving. And he said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Trust me. See, it's all about trust. The greatest sense of peace and security that you and I ever feel is when the person that we trust the most is right there next to us. If we have that person with us, we can handle anything. So Jesus told his disciples, you know, even though I'm leaving you, don't worry. He said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. You know, folks, we live in the days of the Holy Spirit. The days when the Spirit of God actually comes and takes up residence in the hearts and lives of his children. The very same God who spoke to the wind and to the waves, the same Jesus, the same God who calmed the storm, lives in you. You don't think he can handle your storm? You don't think he can take away your anxiety and give you peace? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He said, all of us who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but instead you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, to whom we cry out, or by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. It's because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us that when those times of trouble come, we call out to our daddy. We call out Abba, Father. This very same Spirit that filled Jesus, that enabled him, empowered him to lean upon and depend upon his Father. The same Spirit that filled the apostles, that took these cowardly men who ran away from Jesus at his greatest time of need, and instead gave them boldness. That's the very same Spirit that lives in you. He is the Comforter. So lean on him. Trust him. Let him speak peace to those storms in your life. Well, the second name that's associated with the Holy Spirit as our Paraclete is found in versions like the Christian Standard Bible and the Word. Listen to verse 16 as it's read in the Christian Standard Bible. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." You've probably heard that word used in association with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a title that actually fits a little bit more closely with the legal aspect of the word paraclete. You've probably heard lawyers being referred to as counselor or as legal counsel. Whenever I think of a counselor, I usually think of someone who's an advisor. You know, someone who helps guide us in the right direction. Someone who can instruct us in choosing the right path. To the disciples, Jesus was their counselor. Jesus was the one who taught them all about God's kingdom. Jesus was the one who showed them how they should live as citizens of this kingdom. I'm reminded of a particular passage in John chapter 6. Now, this took place right after the feeding of the 5,000. All right, Jesus had gone to the other side of the lake. And, of course, this was Jesus. He walked across the lake. And the next day, the crowd gets up, and they're looking for Jesus. He had just, you know, fed this massive crowd with five loaves and a couple of fish. So these people, they're looking for Jesus, and they walked around the lake. They walked around the Sea of Galilee, and they found Jesus on the other side. Well, Jesus knew why they came. So he cut right to the chase. He said to them, "You are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves." In other words, I filled your belly. You know, you're coming to me saying, "Give us more bread and fish, Jesus." But Jesus said to them, "Don't work for food that perishes, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." Jesus is saying, just listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. He's offering them words of life. So he began teaching them deeper spiritual truths, and they just weren't getting it. You know, he started to tell them that he himself was the bread of life, that whoever believed in him would never be hungry. And they're still thinking about food for their bellies. They just couldn't grasp the spiritual implications of what Jesus was saying. So finally, Jesus says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And yes, Jesus actually said those very words to those people, which obviously it got their attention. You know, "Jesus, what are you talking about? Eating your flesh and drinking your blood? We're not cannibals, Jesus. We're out of here." And John says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. All of those people who were so eager to be around Jesus, who saw all the signs, who heard all of the teachings, now it was like, okay, Jesus, this is getting a little bit too hard for us. So Jesus wanted to hear what his disciples, his own disciples, would have to say about this. So he said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well? What are you going to do now?" Simon Peter, the spokesperson for the group, stepped up, and he said this, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you, Jesus, only you have words of eternal life." You see, to these disciples, Jesus was their counselor. Jesus was the only one that they looked to for guidance. Only Jesus had words that would lead them to eternal life. They saw that, they understood that. But now Jesus was leaving them. So they're back to square one. "Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go now, Jesus?" Jesus knew that. And listen to what he told them. He said, the helper, the paraclete, the counselor, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus again said, trust me. Trust me. Don't be afraid that you're going to lose your way. Because the Holy Spirit that I'm sending will come and he will live in you and he will continue to guide you and he will teach you and he will bring to mind all of these things that I've already said to you. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer, he illuminates God's word for us. He takes the word of God off of the page, and as we read it, he brings it to life spiritually inside of us. The Bible tells us that the unregenerate mind, that is, the mind that has not yet been transformed by the saving work of Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that unregenerate mind can't comprehend the truth of God's word. That's why so many times people will say, you know, I don't get this stuff. You talk about a guy rising from the dead and his blood, and you talk about him saving me from my sins, and I'm not understanding this. That's because their mind has not been opened up by the Spirit of God. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. The world looks at the Bible and says, oh, this stuff's crazy. I'm not going anywhere near that stuff. They don't understand it, okay? He says he's not able to, Paul says he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But, he said, we, you and I, those of us who have been born again of the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He's our teacher. Just as Jesus was to his disciples, that's who the Holy Spirit is to us. And Jesus told them when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. When we need wisdom, when we need understanding, when we need guidance, when we're in the Word of God, maybe we come across something that's a little hard for us to understand. You know what we need to do? Ask. Ask. And let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let him be your counselor. Well, the last name given to the Holy Spirit that's tied directly to this title, Paraclete, is the one that I consider probably the most accurate. And it's actually the word that's used in the NIV, the New English Version, and the New Living Bible. All right, which, by the way, interestingly enough, are considered to be some of the weaker translations. But I want you to hear what this verse says in the NIV, the New International Version. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. Well, the reason I like this title the most, I just think it's beautiful. It's because I think it best describes who Jesus was to his disciples. You know, Jesus was more than just a helper to them. And yes, he was their comforter. He was their counselor. But above all else, Jesus was their advocate. Jesus was their advocate with the religious leaders. You know, they never had to speak on their own behalf because Jesus was right there with them. Jesus stood in the gap. Okay? They never had to speak on their own behalf. He was their advocate. He was their advocate with the Father. He was the one true mediator that they had. Take a look at John chapter 17. You know, that's Jesus' high priestly prayer for his disciples and for us. And what is he doing? He's interceding for us. And Jesus was constantly interceding for his disciples. I don't know if any of you have been in some real legal trouble before, outside of maybe a speeding ticket. But along the way, years in ministry, I've had to help some folks who sometimes not even by their own doing. Okay, things just happen to them, and they have to go to court over an issue. Well, almost always, I will advise them, get a lawyer. get a lawyer, okay? It's a wise thing to do. And the reason is a lawyer knows things that you and I don't, okay? A lawyer knows that how to work with a judge or how to work with an opposing attorney. And almost always, when lawyers get together, they can handle your situation. They can take care of it outside of the courtroom so that you don't even have to go before a judge to handle things. He is your advocate, okay? He's working on your behalf. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is our advocate. He stands between you and me and the judge of the universe, God the Father. And he's there interceding for us. That's what Jesus is doing for us right now. You know, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, there is one God, that is one judge, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus is doing in heaven for us right now at the right hand of God the Father. He's mediating. He's interceding for you and me. But here's the great part. In the meantime, that's great. That's terrific. But let me tell you something else. We have an advocate who is always with us. He is always with us, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, instead of us having to stand in our own behalf, rather than us having to speak for ourselves, the Holy Spirit speaks for us. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? He said, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, don't worry. Don't be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour, in that very moment, he'll teach you what you ought to say. How's that for instilling confidence in these disciples? And not only that, but here's the thing. Whenever you and I are going through some of the most difficult times in our lives, when things just absolutely make no sense, and sometimes when we don't even know how to pray, you ever been in that position? When things are so bad, so difficult, and you're like, I don't even know what to ask God for. You have an advocate with the Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Even when I don't know how to pray or what to pray for, the Spirit of God who lives in me, who knows my heart, who knows my mind, who knows everything that I'm going through at that very moment, he's interceding for me. And not only is he interceding, not only is he asking, but he's asking according to God's will. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. You see, the Spirit of God who lives inside of you is not just a come alongside helper to us. He is a take charge God. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples and what he's saying to us today is that you and I will never have to face life, will never have to face this world alone. The Spirit of God who lives in you will enable you. He will empower you to overcome any obstacle that life will throw in your way. He'll be your comforter through every heartache that you have to face. He'll be your counselor to guide you through every challenge that life throws your way. And he is your constant advocate. Always remember this. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know, folks, I want you to leave here this morning feeling encouraged. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then guess what? His Spirit lives inside of you. You are never, ever alone. You have an advocate who is always in your corner. One who is going to fight for you day and night. And you know what? He never sleeps. He's always on the job. And not only that, but he's working in you to make you more and more like Jesus every day. So I just want to encourage you today to lean into him, trust him, and let him have his perfect way in your life. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the days that we have the privilege of living in. We thank you that we live in the days of the Spirit. The Comforter has come, and he dwells in, he takes up residence in the life of every child of God, everyone who knows Jesus and has put their trust in him. And Father, because of that, your presence constantly goes before us. Lord, we're going to talk more about this along the way, but for those of us who've been walking with you for any length of time, we know that there are times in our lives when we'll fight the Spirit, when we'll want to do things our way instead of your way. And Father, that's a discussion for another day. But at the same time, Lord, you never leave us. We may walk in a different direction from you sometimes, but you never, ever leave us. And all we have to do as your children is to call out, Abba, Daddy, Father, and we know you're right there. Father, I pray for us. Whatever situation my brothers and sisters may be going through today, whatever difficulty they may be facing, whatever challenge that they've got that they need wisdom for, Father, may they lean heavily upon you, knowing that your Spirit who lives within them is greater than he who is in the world and anything this world might throw at us. Father, thank you so much for that truth. Teach us more and more, day by day, to walk according to your Spirit. And we give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.